Ah, yes, it's that time again. Just when you think you have it all figured out, something comes along that makes you question everything. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and we are open for business. Veil. We just want to know.
Ready to believe you.
Ready to believe you. It's all true. All of it.
Yes, it is that time again. Time for your Friday Night Fright. This is Unexplained Incorporated, and I am Phantom Phil. So pleased to be with you tonight. Last week, it was Friday the 13th, and Reen from Arizona was on with a pretty crazy story, who currently resides near Superstition Mountain in the great state of Arizona. And she paid me a nice compliment after listening to the show. She said she really enjoyed the music, and why not? As you all know, the music comes from a service I use and love called Soundstripe, which is an affiliate partner of Unexplained Incorporated. And for content creators out there, I have a lot on the show, podcasters especially. You definitely want to check out this service. If you sign up with my promo code FRIGHT, FRIGHT, and you can find the link on the Unexplained Incorporated Twitter page at PhantomPhil3, or in the affiliates and links section of thephantomhub.com. And like I said, you get 10% off for the best royalty-free music for content creators on the internet. And just a few weeks ago, they added another really cool feature, free stock video with your subscription as well for all you video makers and YouTube content creators out there. Once again, that's Soundstripe, 10% off if you sign up through my affiliate link, promo code, FRIGHT. As for tonight, on the Friday Night Fright, kind of arrived at a slightly different destination. For those of you who are looking forward to hearing intuitive healer and Reiki master Carrie Fargo on the program tonight, Carrie was unable to make it on, so she will be rescheduled sometime in the future. This is the type of thing that has happened on Unexplained before, and I'm sure it will happen again. But have no fear, true believers, as I have an amazing replacement for this week. I hit up my man CJ from the Mystery Stone podcast, but we're not going to talk about that show and the properties and applications of magic like we did in the middle of October. He is on a crew of another podcast called Cryptid Technical. And this one is about cryptozoology, which outside of the Mothman Prophecies case study I did back in the summer, this is a subject I haven't completely dove into yet on Unexplained. And CJ, as well as Ninja Chris, who is also one of the hosts of Cryptid Technical. This is two-thirds of the crew. We do a lot of crypto talk on this one, and it gets pretty strange and pretty fun. And we really blur the line between fable and mythology and what may or may not be real, because frankly, when it comes to these stories, there's one side and then there's the other side. And then usually in the middle, there's the truth. And that not only goes in terms of studying crypto, but that's just about anything you study in life. You have to let your guard down and let your biases go sometimes to get as close to the truth as possible. And to me, that's what being a true believer is all about. Being rational while also being able to suspend your disbelief at the same time. And what a better subject to get into those topics other than cryptozoology. Alas, that is not all that is discussed in this interview. We're going to get to the formal intro from Angel Card Amy very shortly. And by the way, our newest social media platform, Angel Card Amy, has put in a lot of time and effort to create the Unexplained Incorporated Instagram page. And it's building up quite a few followers very quickly. I got to say, I'm really impressed with the work she's done. And if you haven't already done so, give us a follow. And in her intro, she's going to talk about an absolute bombshell that CJ dropped on me when we were hooking up this interview. And this is something a little alien related. And we're going to get to that right now.
Tonight on Unexplained Inc., CJ is making his second appearance alongside the Mystery Stone podcast. He also works on Cryptid Technical. One of the other hosts, Ninja Chris, joins in the chat as well. Not only is this a fun chat on the subject of cryptozoology, but CJ had an unexplained encounter this past weekend that he exclusively shares with the world on Unexplained Inc.
Well, true believers, here we are for another edition of Unexplained Incorporated. I want to welcome back a second-time guest, CJ. He appeared along with Mike because they both do the Magic Stone podcast, and it is on a roll, and it is doing awesome. And he is also joined by one of the fellow co-hosts of his other podcast, which we're going to talk about in a little while, Cryptid Technical. Ninja Chris is here. So, gentlemen, how are you both doing tonight? And thank you for coming on, especially on some short notice, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, we're doing awesome. And, you know, it's great to be back on the show and talking with you again.
Yeah, and I'll be honest here, CJ. Sometime in the future, I'm going to have you and Mike both back on, and I'm going to have you on in particular when a guest doesn't ghost me or reschedule at the last minute, because I believe that's how I discovered you guys and had you on back in October. But either way, this is much appreciated. So don't feel like you're second class or anything because of this, because we do love having you on.
I'm cool with being the substitute teacher. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. I just wanted to make sure, and Ninja Chris, we're going to welcome for the first time. But before we get into the Cryptid Technical podcast, yeah, and get into some crypto talk, which I really haven't done much of here on Unexplained Incorporated, but would like to do more of in the coming months of the show, I feel this would be a good place to start. I was talking online with CJ just the other night, actually, and not only was he kind enough to come on here and talk about this subject, but he had some really crazy stuff happen to him. I believe it was this past weekend, correct?
Let me see. I think it would have been
the day before our recording.
I think. Well, yeah, we did a guest spot on a show called Infinite Rabbit Hole. I think I recorded that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been Saturday. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was on the weekend. Yeah, no, it had to be on the weekend because I was out with Carrie and the baby. So yeah, it was on the weekend. We can all tell how together I have it.
Well, listen, you're shook up. You had quite an experience, which you're going to share right now. So what happened and what made you want to film this thing? And you showed me the video, which I believe we'll have more access to later on, but this was something else. So please tell me about your encounter on Saturday.
Yeah, it was actually really a big coincidence because I was doing a guest spot on that show, like I said, Infinite Rabbit Hole. And they had asked me if I'd had any paranormal or like alien experiences or anything like that. And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, I've had some paranormal stuff in the past. You know, we can talk about that a little bit. Why not? So before we did the guest spot on the show, me, the wife, and the baby, we ran out to McDonald's for a real quick dinner. And we're on our way back. We're getting out of the car, and I've got all the stuff in my arms. And I look up, and it looks like two plane dots, like, you know, the lights on an airplane, headed my way.
Yep.
Kind of like one light on each wing, which I thought was a little weird. So I was stopped and I stood there and I was looking at it for a while and I realized there was no signal lights on the wings because the, you know, like your commercial aircraft and whatnot had the, it was like a blue and a green or something like that on each wing. So there was no signal blinkers or anything like that on there. And I was like, man, that's really weird, like for something to be out. So I yelled over to the wife and I was like, hey, like, do you see that? What do you think that is? She's like, it's just a plane. And I'm like, I don't think so. Like, it looks very strange. And she was like, whatever. And like, she goes in the house because she thinks I'm a ridiculous person.
Well, you are ridiculous. Yeah, we all are. It's a crazy house.
But, so I'm standing there and I got my arms full of McDonald's and then like my phone and like my car keys and like a drink I'd left in the car earlier. And like, I'm trying to carry that out and I'm watching it and it kind of like, it's coming from the south. It's heading north. And it kind of like turns a little bit and it starts getting bigger. And I realize like it's descending, like it's coming down. But I can't see like an actual plane. All I can see is these two white lights and they're moving synchronized to come. So I'm like, wow. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh my God, that plane is getting really low. And then they got really, really big. And I was like, oh my God, that plane is about to hit my house. Like that's how far down it came. Like, it really, I was standing there going, this is going to hit my house. This is it, you know? And, you know, like deer in the headlights, like you're just like standing there like, well, that's how I go. And, then it like stopped and like the lights, they didn't move in like a synchronized pattern anymore. They seemed to move independently. And I was like, what is that? And then it went back up. It curved, went up probably pretty straight. It didn't have like too much of like an incline. It was a pretty vertical climb. It wasn't like crazy fast, but it was pretty quick. It went up pretty quickly, much higher than any drone I've ever seen. So after it gets up a little bit more. And it starts going off east to the next town over in that direction. And that's when I was like, well, maybe I should put this McDonald's down and pull out this camera and record what I can of it. Cause now they're moving weird. So instead of moving like a synchronized pattern, it was like the one kind of like separated and went off like a little bit ahead. And then the other one kind of like stayed back. It stayed like larger, brighter, and easier to see for much longer. But they were both still moving. And I tried to like, in the video, I tried to get like a star in frame so that we had like a point of reference. Like, this thing does not move, so you can see this moving. I don't know if you noticed that or not when you watched the video. But
yeah, and I just wanted to say, are you giving me permission to share this video when this episode posts? Because I'd really like people to see it if you do.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. I didn't like really share it amongst people here. Like I told a couple of friends about it and they were like, it was a blimp. It was drones. I was like, no, like it definitely was not a blimp and I have a drone and I can't do that with it. Plus it's against the law to go as high as they did in crossing streets. Like, and this thing was like traversing city. Like, it came over a mountain, came all the way to me and then went to the next city over. And I don't think I've ever seen a drone where I'd be able to watch it go to the next city over and still like keep track of the lights. So, but yeah, like I didn't tell a whole lot of people here. I told one group and they were like, Yeah, well, like I said, they basically thought I was full of it, and I was like, "Why are you guys having why are you guys having such a hard time with this one?" They're like, "You're such a weirdo." It was like, "You're okay with me being involved in the occult, but I'm a weirdo because I saw UFO." All right, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah. So fascinating that with all the sightings and more proof that's going on, that people are still super resistant to the idea that you may have saw one like on a random Saturday night. Now, I have a few questions here.
Okay.
First of all, from watching the video, I agree with you that I don't think those are drones either. And it looked to me like they were up way too high in the sky.
Yeah.
To be doing those types of things. And the way those lights move, especially at the end of the video, to me, does not look natural at all. And I think that can obviously classify an unidentified flying object. Mm-hmm. And a question for you, CJ. Have you, at any point in your life, or most of your life, lived within the vicinity of either a commercial airport or an Air Force base?
We have a commercial airport about, I think it's about 8 miles north of me. I think it's about eight.
Yeah, I think it's eight.
Yeah. And they have, there's an Army Reserves base close by, and they do training exercises once in a while. I used to watch them all the time because I used to work up that way in a furniture warehouse. But I've never seen them come this far south when they're doing it.
Right. So I just wanted to verify, you've seen commercial aircraft taking off near your residence, and you've seen maybe not so close to your residence, but, you know, further away, like you said, you've seen military aircraft in the sky doing training exercises. So I think it's safe to assume that you know what both military and commercial aircraft looks like in the night sky. Is it safe for me to say that?
I mean, I'm familiar with it around here. I wouldn't really say like I'm like a hard point expert on the matter. Like, you know, I'm not going to like really identify too many of them. But
right.
I've seen them doing their exercises. Like, it would have been familiar to me. Like, if I looked up, I'm like, oh, they're doing their exercises tonight.
Yeah, like you wouldn't have, you know, thrown down all your McDonald's and ran for your phone.
No, right?
Like no. A normal exercise.
Listen, I'm a hefty man. It takes a lot to get me to put the McDonald's down.
Well, the reason I ask is because I shared a story on this program late in October. I've only ever had one thing that I could personally call a UFO sighting, and I was driving home on a major highway from work late one night, and I saw a thing just glide, and then it went into like a reverse J shape, and then it just disappeared, and it was not lit up, nor did it move like any commercial aircraft I'd ever seen. And I explained this to the person I told it to on the show back in October, was that I grew up about 45 minutes away from Toronto's International Airport. So the house I grew up in was right in the flight path of when the planes were ascending in altitude. So I'm very, very familiar with how commercial aircraft looks, especially at nighttime. And this thing I saw was unlike anything I had ever seen. And the video of your sighting, I think, is even more bizarre than the one I saw all those years ago. So I just wanted to share that with you as well.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I'd seen one UFO previous to this, and it wasn't like I couldn't just stand in my little parking lot and watch it for 2.5 minutes like I did this time. This was really quick. I was just at a stoplight, and there was like a bronzy beigeous colored sphere over top of this grocery store. And the dude that I was with, I was like, "Hey, Nick," I was like, "Bro, tell me you see that." He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "What is that?" He's like, "I don't know. Like, maybe it's like a weather balloon or something. Like, you know, maybe they're doing like an advertisement. Maybe they're having a sale. Maybe we should stop in." And I'm like, "I have no idea." And then we blinked and it was gone. Hmm. And we were like, "Okay." Like, That was quickly. That all happened like maybe like 10 or 15 seconds. Like, it was very, very quick. Yeah, this was like the first time I've ever actually gotten to stand there and actually like watch something and like really have a chance to like think about what I was looking at. And the fun part is too, is like when I was on that other podcast talking to those guys on Infinite Rabbit Hole, those guys are actually in the military and they work on military aircraft. So I was asking, I was like, you know, I first thought it was like a helicopter, but then it came down too fast and it went up way too fast. And, you know, if you know a little bit about helicopters, you could lose the air underneath your props if you descend or ascend too quickly and just drop your helicopter to the ground, your chopper, whatever. Because the same mechanics work with drones. If you make your drone go up too fast or come down too fast, it'll drop and hit the ground. And this went up really, really quick. At least too quick for a helicopter. And then the one fella, his name was Jake, told me that if it was a military operation, they were running NVG, they'd be using their infrareds and they would not have a big old white spotlight on there. And if they were having, and if they had their travel lights on, they would have had the signal lights, like a commercial aircraft would. So we're sitting there, guys that work on military aircraft. And then just me being me and, you know, everyday civilian life, you know, and we're talking about it. None of us can make sense of it at all either.
Wow. And just to add to what you said, the place I've been living in for the last 6 years, it's not too far from a regional airport. And beside the regional airport is a place that offers helicopter tours and flying lessons. So I've seen a number of those too. So I know that your video does not resemble anything a helicopter could do as well.
Yeah, I really wish I hadn't just stood there as long as I did. I wish I got the camera out quicker because I'm telling you, man, when it was coming down before it went back up and like it basically flew in like a very wide S shape, descending and then reascending. If I could have gotten on video, like the point where I was standing going, this is going to hit my house. Like there is a plane coming out of the sky right now and it's going to hit my house. You know, like those lights were huge and then they were just gone. They were like up in the sky and moving off. And I feel like they were moving pretty rapidly. I don't feel like they were going slow at all.
Well, CJ, I give you credit because I'm pretty impressed that you even got anything, because I think most people in that situation would freeze. And if, say, they weren't already holding their phone or taking pictures with it, they wouldn't have even thought to do it. So I'm very happy that you're able to get what you could get and that you could get on to the podcast that you were just on and on this one to share your experiences. So we're very appreciative for it.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm glad to tell you guys about it. Like, because I mean, I'm not really worried about you guys being like, oh, well, you know, it's a blimp. All right. You know what I mean?
Well, that was a big thing a couple of weeks ago on Facebook.
Yeah, the Goodyear blimp that everyone thought was a UFO. That's what the guy was, was Corey I was talking to. And he was like, oh, it's a blimp. I'm like, yeah, it's real.
Well, when I initially saw the video, I was like, there's no way this is real. But I reposted because I thought it was entertaining. And then the next day, it was just like Facebook fact checkers. I was like, oh, damn. That was quick.
Wow, that's unreal. So before we move on and talk about the podcast you guys are a part of, the Cryptid Technical, just a couple of things to wrap up here. First of all, did you hear any other reports on this sighting, either in your neighborhood or even through local media?
Not the one that I saw. Yesterday, I was talking to one of the guys we'd originally talked to about it. Just following up with stuff. And, I ended up Googling, like recent sightings in my area. And there's like a really nice list, online that has all of Pennsylvania's, UFO sightings in a timeline order with like a brief description of what was seen.
Oh, wow.
And back in August on the 6th, somebody else saw exactly the same thing I did. But that's the only other sort of, encounter like that. Like, I mean, it's not really like an encounter. It's like a sighting, I guess you could say.
Yeah, sighting, yeah.
If it was an encounter, I'd be way more excited. Or very sore.
You'd probably be way more scared, too.
He's used to it by now if you listen to our podcast.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know if I'd really be all that scared. Like, I mean, if they were holding, like, something that was identifiably like a weapon, I'd probably need my brown pants. But I don't know if I'd be all that scared right away. If they acted aggressively, yes. I'd be screaming and running down the alleyway.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. So, final question on this before we move on. CJ and Ninja Chris, thank you for your patience, because I know CJ's been taking up a lot of the oxygen here with his story. I want both of your thoughts on this next question. So, you know, with this being the year of COVID and so much other craziness, back in the springtime, and I'm sure you gentlemen are very familiar with this, the Pentagon, the U.S. Defense Department, basically came out and said, yeah, UFOs are real. We've had our fair share of encounters with them. And nobody reacted to it at all because of all the other crazy stuff going on. And yet with this kind of validation, even in your network of friends, you're still getting resistance from people saying that, oh, there's no way you saw a UFO. With all that's coming out now through the internet and even through, like, you know, Defense Department saying, yeah, we've had our sightings, our encounters. Why do you think people are still so resistant to the ideas of unidentified aircrafts throughout the sky, and why are they so quick to dismiss them?
Oh, man. I feel like it has a lot to do with your everyday, like your everyday culture. You know, here in the U.S., we're very predominantly a Christian culture, and a lot of Christian followings denounce the existence of aliens. So, with the whole God created us within his image concept. But I maybe like it's like a mix of fear of the unknown, because it isn't a very like a common thing for human beings to do, to deny something that is potentially scary, at least on that level. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could see it. Yeah. I mean, usually fear brings hate when it comes to that.
Hatred or denial.
Yeah. That's true.
You ever think, like, if somebody, like, did something traumatic to you at some point in your life, like, really traumatic, you know, a lot of times you'll stand there, no, that didn't happen.
I mean, people are too afraid of the unknown, like, they'd be like, oh yeah, aliens. They wish it was like Paul in that one movie. It would be friendly, you know, do whatever. Yeah, and then they're just like, well, what happens if it's like Mars Attacks and they just come down freaking phasers and everything? They don't want to think about exactly what might go on.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you brought in the entertainment programming aspect of it. And also, CJ, really fascinated with your take on the religious aspect of it. And, you know, we're not trying to single out any religions here, but I mean, if aliens were to come and the existence was proven to, you know, all of humankind, that would pretty much turn most religions' belief systems upside down, would it not?
Yeah, I actually recently read an article. It was on the Mozilla Firefox front page. They always give you like these little interesting articles if you have some time to kill. And they had this article on there. It was about like the five major world religions that like would they accept aliens and whatnot. And, like, their general consensus was like Judaism has room within its theology to accept the concept of extraterrestrials, where others would either classify them as something demonic or just downright deny their existence.
Hey, true believers, Phantom Phil here. We're going to get back to this awesome interview with CJ and Ninja Chris talking some crypto craziness. But first, I just want to remind everyone that Unexplained Incorporated now has its own merchandise store. If you want to show your support, please pick up some merch. There's a lot of great stuff in there. More will be added throughout the coming weeks and months. But to start off, I just want to say we got bandanas, phone cases, men's and women's t-shirts, a set of pens, because you can't go wrong with a good set of stationery. And coming soon, if they are not available already, cloth face masks with the Unexplained logo. The new logo on it. And different designs, different sizes for everyone. And if you go to thephantomhub.com, There is a direct link to the store. And once the masks are fully available, if they are not already, check all the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, for the new Unexplained Incorporated merchandise store. True believers, I sincerely appreciate all your love and support. And what a better way to show it than to maybe do some early holiday shopping. And this store is provided through Zazzle, and my thanks goes out to them. Now, back to this week's engaging interview.
Yeah, we could go down a whole other rabbit hole with this discussion between, you know, aliens and theology and their role in religion and all that, but we got to keep moving on, and we got to plug your podcast, man, Cryptid Technical. So you talked about going to a website that had UFO sightings in your part of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania, over the years, has been a hotbed for that type of activity, and I know there's quite a bit of military outlets and underground bases that are there as well, that I've had some strange reports over the years. But Pennsylvania is also known for numerous cryptid sightings. So what a better place to start than some of the activity that has gone on in your home state. And with that being said, was this what inspired you to start this podcast?
Oh, the Cryptid Technical has a much more bland beginning. It was really, I had been working on I'd been doing an audio drama for a while. Cryptid Technical is actually the fourth podcast I've ever worked on. There were two others for other people that I did, and then an audio drama that I did myself. And I was walking into work, and Andrew, the other co-host on Cryptid Technical, had walked up to me and was like, "Do you know of any podcasts that are about like cryptids or monsters?" And I was like, "No." And he's like, "How would we find one?" I was like, "Why don't we make one?" And he was like, "Okay." And really, that was the start of the podcast.
It ended up, the way I ended up getting into it, he just knocked on my door. He's like, "Hey, you want to do a podcast?" This is pretty much, it was the most simplest way of starting a podcast ever. It was just like, "Hey, you want to do this?" Sure. That was pretty much the general consensus between the three of us.
So then what was your interest in cryptids in the first place? What got you onto that subject, other than the fact that, oh, we don't think there's a podcast on this, let's make one?
That was all Andrew, like 100%. Like, that was his interest. He had been on a creepypasta website and then something on 4chan / R or something like that. Do you remember what he said he was on?
No, it was a couple of websites he checked.
Yeah, but he was reading like horror stuff about monsters, and like the type of reading he finds to be entertaining is horror readings. And it was really like 100%. It was his interest. I was in the throes of coming up with either like a politically based podcast or something about comparative religions, and then he just kind of hit me with that idea, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm with that. That's cool. Let's do that." I didn't particularly like. I had watched stuff on like Discovery Channel and like Bigfoot and whatnot in the past, but like, and like been interested. Maybe I've watched a few YouTube videos, but overall, I've never really been extra involved in the cryptozoology community until Andrew.
Yeah, kind of me too. I mean, I've always enjoyed different monsters. My mother was really into like horror movies, but I also enjoyed more of things like random myths, animals of lore. So it's just like, even like Greek mythology, any other mythology from Greek, Egyptian, and I enjoyed reading stuff about those type of creatures and things that could have been made, or things that are just kind of there, but they're like, have random abilities. So mine was just mainly my love for mythology that I really like doing this podcast.
Very cool. I'm going to come back to the mythology in just a minute, but when you talk cryptid, the most popular ones people go on about are usually things like, you know, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, the Loch Ness Monster, And back in the summer, I did an episode, a case study on the Mothman prophecies, which is another unusual one. What are some of the cooler, crazier cryptids you guys have learned about since doing the podcast that, say, a lot of run-of-the-mill, everyday people may not know about?
That Mothman episode of yours is amazing, by the way. I've listened to your entire show at this point. Yeah, and I love the case study episodes. They're always really, really good, especially like Mothman and then the Slender Man one you did.
Mm-hmm. Why, thank you. So what are the cryptids you've discovered? Because I know there's almost a whole other rabbit hole of these that I probably don't even know about.
I mean, there's a bunch of the lesser known ones.
I mean, you get, within society, you get the normal ones. You know, you have your leprechauns, you have Loch Ness Monster, yeah. Bigfoot. But then when you actually start going into it and you're like different areas, you start with near you and you're like, oh, there's a bunch of these. And then you go like state by state, country by country. You're like, this is actually really awesome. There's a whole bunch of just random stuff sometimes.
You want to do like top three for each of us? Like what we thought was like the, sure, the most interesting ones?
Yeah, that sounds good for sure.
I mean, I might butcher names and stuff. I don't have my laptop in front of me.
Oh, that's fine.
Let me know. Like, for me, like, Monkey Man in New Delhi was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that one was pretty good.
Puck Wedgie was really cool.
That was an interesting one for me, because that was just like, oh, yeah, like a leprechaun, but he's an asshole.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Puck Wedgie was cool.
And where is that one located, sorry?
The Pukwudgie, I think that's New England, is where that one comes out of.
Oh, okay.
They're like a tribe of these little shape-shifting goblin things, and they killed a god once.
Yeah. Whoa. Was it three? Okay. Was it the god's sons?
Yeah, the god and his sons. Yeah. Because yeah, they have like all these magic powers and stuff. Like, they're really neat. Yeah. And then, Orang Bati, maybe? Orang Bati was pretty cool.
Orang, yeah.
You have to filter through because there's a lot of really stupid ones, too.
Okay. Well, tell me about Orang Bati. I'm not familiar with that one.
Orang Bati is, I believe it comes out of South America. It's like an island. And it's like this species of like really large bat that swoops into town and steals kids and carries them back to the volcano home to eat them.
Okay. Pretty wild. So, Ninja Chris, what have you got? CJ had some really good ones there. So,
yeah, there was a Japanese cryptid. It was how do you pronounce
Tsukumogami?
It? Tsukumogamis, the everyday objects.
Yeah.
It was especially within the culture, things have a spirit within them, and some of them are benevolent, and others are, you know, they don't mind people. But it largely depends on the life of the object. So if it had a really good life, it could be nice. And there was a jar that would, if you put a liquid in it, it would never go empty. So you could just keep pouring.
Yeah, there's a bunch of
them. There was an umbrella. There was a killer piece of tape.
The boot.
The boot. That was another one. Yeah. No, there was like a freaking string, like a rope, and it would just go around like killing people.
Yeah, but the idea is if you have like a tool or everyday object that was used and then set down, and as long as it sits for 100 years without being used, however, it can't be abused either.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be maintained, just not used. It would gain this yokai spirit and turn into a Tsukumogami.
Yeah, some of them were cool. There was one with the pot that it grew legs and arms. It was kind of cool. The umbrella was kind of entertaining.
You got two more to come up with, pal.
Yeah. Damn, let's see. What's a good one?
There was the big octopus lady.
Oh, the big octopus lady that I used the tactical nuke.
What the heck was her name? I don't remember that one's name.
Yeah, I don't have my list in front of me.
Amarok was neat.
The direwolf, yeah. Amarok was pretty good.
Have you ever come across werewolves?
We actually did an entire block on the concept of werewolves. It's four episodes.
Oh, wow.
One of our characters, Andrew's character, gets bitten by a werewolf, and like we're trying to cure his lycanthropy throughout this block. In that block, we covered Dogman, Rougarou, Beast of Bray Road, and then we finished with Werewolves.
Man. Actually, one of the ones that I thought was cool, it was on, it's a lot of mainstream, but like, I didn't know much of the lore of it, and after I reading it, it was actually, it was a little bit more entertained, but the Unicorn was a really good episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was, you have this majestic horse, you know, the horn, and all of the stories that you've heard of it. And it's just like, well, if you're not pure of heart, it's pretty much going to tap dance on your face.
Yeah, but, it skewers people. And, like, you don't even have to, like in Unicorn lore, you have to be the essence of perfection, of angelic perfection. Like, if you so much as, like, thought about stealing a candy bar when you were a toddler, a unicorn will destroy you over that. Like,
yeah, it was it was interesting information to find out after the fact, as you already had preconceived notions of what it is and how mainstream it's become, and then you're like, this is nothing of what I was told. I was completely wrong.
You get to like the Persian version that has like 12 legs and like it looks like a Dr. Seuss animal.
There was a version of it with like a 3-foot horn on its head. It was nuts.
Wow. No, I was gonna say, because the unicorn's like the cute cuddly children's toy, and what you're telling me is that no, it's the complete opposite. It's pretty frightening.
I mean, as long as you're pure heart, you got no problem.
Listen, there's like one person, Mother Teresa. She was all right. Nobody. The rest of us, dead.
Yeah.
And what else was there? What was a good one? Oh, what was the one? The Snallygaster was pretty cool. I liked it. Yeah. Snallygaster was pretty interesting. It was also a very dangerous cryptid that came out to snatch people. There was a story where it flew over some moonshiner's vat and I guess got drunk off the fumes and fell in the vat and died.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's actually, isn't the Snallygaster around here? That's like Virginia, right? I think Snallygaster is Virginia.
Yeah, I think it was Virginia.
It's like a weird like mountain dragon sort of that also looks like a Dr. Seuss creation.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's got like tentacles hanging off of its face.
Yeah, it was an interesting episode, just looking that up.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm going to get back to Cthulhu a little bit shortly, but I have a couple of ones off the top of my head that I'll get your opinions on here. First one, the Chupacabra.
I hate that cryptid. Such a dumb cryptid. Why? Such a stupid story.
Hey, listen. I don't know if you ever watched the Unsolved Mysteries episode of it back in the day, but it was pretty scary.
Yeah, they hammed it up a little bit.
Yeah, there was a lot of extra stuff. And then there was that one video that came up from someone's dash cam of a chupacabra running down a road. It just looked like a dog with mange.
Well, like, you associate chupacabra a lot with like Mexico. And the legend was actually born in Puerto Rico. This lady watched the movie Splice and then went outside and was like, I saw it. It was there. We're like, you just do LSD and watch movies. And then after that, like when we talk about cryptids, a big, big thing with us is consistency of the lore. So if I go from Mexico to New Mexico to Texas, and I understand that things travel along that way, but if the story stays consistent, it looks kind of like a dog. It's got fangs and red eyes. It has ridges on its back. And sometimes the color can change. Oh, and it can jump really high.
Yeah.
All right, cool. And if that story had stayed consistent as it traveled from Puerto Rico to Mexico into New Mexico, Arizona to Texas, and then they have chupacabra sightings as far north as Virginia. But it doesn't. It doesn't stay that way. Like there's one place where the spines are rainbow colored, and then there's another place where it can talk to you telepathically, and then there's another place where it has like venom and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like really, it's an inconsistent cryptid. Ugh.
There's been worse though. There's a couple episodes where the cryptids where it would be one place that would look like this, another place it would look like this, and another place it was like a splice of both, and you're just like, I don't know, like it had like 20 sightings and all of them are like different.
Yeah.
Very interesting. How about this one? Your next door neighbor, the Jersey Devil.
That's a fun one.
Yeah, got
beat up and killed by an 80-year-old woman with a broom.
That's why we got broom on with died, Andrew.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't he just get his ass kicked and he ran?
He pulled up. This is something that can spit poison and fire, and has wings and claws and big old teeth and a tail. And it pulled up on this lady's trailer in like near the Pine Barrens, and she literally came out on her porch and was like, "None of your nonsense and malarkey today," and just beat him stupid with a broom. And he was like, "Oh my god!" and like flew off. And some of the legends say she killed him. Some of the legends say like he was gone and never came back.
I mean, after the ass whooping he got,
he just got smacked down by an old lady with a broom.
Yeah, I mean, that legend sounds a little far-fetched, like even for our imaginations.
It's good, though.
I mean, some cryptids get beat up really easily.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing about that, before I give you my final one, is I believe at some point in time there was like an X-Files episode based on the Jersey Devil or the legend of it. I don't remember much about it, but that definitely caused some inspiration. And a few years ago, I went back to school in Toronto for a trade school. And one of my classmates actually had moved up there, and he was originally from Edison, New Jersey, okay? And one of our instructors was always talking to him about Jersey and stuff like that. And then one day he was like, "Oh, yes," he's like, "I have a Jersey Devil story for you." But then he never actually told us, which was very disappointing.
Yeah. You can't make that claim and then not tell somebody. Yeah.
Like, oh, I know.
I produce a photograph, a video. You got to tell. I saw it. Oh, really? Can you tell me?
No. Nope. Yeah, that's all. No,
I think he said it at the end of a class because we only had him like once a week. And then by the next week, it was forgotten and nobody reminded him. So it was a lost opportunity. But the last one I want to get to before I get to my final wrap up questions is, what in the holy hell is going on in the now popularized piece of land in Utah known as Skinwalker Ranch? Because it seems like you just have an entire stew of crypto-maniacal craziness going on that property, allegedly, or maybe not. So what are your thoughts on that place and some of the things that have been reported there over the years?
I feel like the number of cryptids that don't live on that land is a shorter list. Everybody sees everything there, from paranormal, like spirits, ghosts, phantoms, demons, angels, to wendigos and Bigfoot, skunk apes. And then they see aliens there, grays, greens, tall whites. Supposedly there's been a lizard man there at some point. The Warrens, you know, went out there to invest, because, you know, they can't mind their business at anything. And they were out there for that. There's another podcast out there. It's called the Brohio Podcast, and they have an episode on Skinwalker Ranch where they cover, like, everything. It's like a two-hour episode, and it's really, really good if you have a chance to check that out. And it's got some real good information for it. But, yeah, like, the Skinwalker Ranch is – I don't know. That's either a hotspot of like some sort of spiritual energy that we're not privy to, you know, as humans, or they are geniuses at forming a business plan.
See, it's so funny because one of the things I keep hearing about it is that it's a portal. It's an area that has a thin veil or what have you. And there's allegedly portals that have been opened up. But from my understanding too, there's certain parts of the property where you can't even get access to. Like, it's privately owned. So that also makes you wonder, if it's privately owned, is this all marketing and hype to get people out to their area? It's like, it's really hard to tell unless you've been there.
Well, yeah, I mean, make it more interesting by telling people they can't go there.
Yeah, I can see that happening. The more you tell somebody they can't do something, they're going to try and do it. Or it's going to make people want to come at least go over and oversee the area.
I think my main line of thought when it comes to Skinwalker Ranch is just the sheer number of things that get seen on that property. And it's like, I don't know. That seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I only know a little bit about it, but I wonder, does anybody actually live in that house or the private property?
Yeah, yeah. It's got people in it, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was wondering if they're the only ones. Like, I saw this out my back door this day.
No, it runs a lot deeper than that.
Oh, I know.
Dude, if you, like, see, like, I've been intentionally avoiding that topic for Cryptid Technical.
Yeah.
It's been beaten to death.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much going on with that. It's interesting at the same time as, like, I don't know. If the Warrens get involved, it immediately turns me off, and that's just a personal bias. But
Hey, CJ, there's going to be an episode on the Warrens coming up in 2021 on this show, and I got some good guests to dissect their work. So stay tuned for that one in the future.
Man, I mean, I'm definitely going to listen to it. I listen to all your episodes, but yeah, it just seems it's not like a bad thing. It is interesting, but you can only hear about the same stuff so many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and I've heard about. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was done.
Okay. No, I just wanted to say I've heard about Skinwalker on several different podcasts, but I hadn't yet heard it from the perspective of someone who does a crypto podcast. So that's why I had to bring it up. So we're just about out of time tonight, gentlemen. Thank you again for the time and the awesome stories. I just wanted to say, Ninja Chris, earlier you talked about mythology, which I find a really fascinating connection because out of all the crazy cryptid sightings that have gone on and the fact that maybe these things might be traveling from portals or other dimensions or what have you, it makes you wonder if the line between mythology and actual storytelling, like, was it actually mythology or did people see some of this really weird stuff and just nobody believed them? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it could totally be just legends. There's some really creative storytellers out there, but it could also be there's some things like the Nemean lion for Greek mythology, the one that Hercules killed. I mean, yeah, giant lion. I mean, the impenetrable skin and all that stuff. I mean, it could have just been an incredibly ferocious lion that somebody slain. And some things that actually have a basis for them, for different creatures that are either extinct that somebody saw back in the day but no longer come into use with, like, there's certain things like thousands of years ago when they bring up certain things, especially it does cross over into religious as well because it's, you know, the gods have created so many things. I mean, I could totally see some of the stories being true, but everything has to be taken with a grain of salt, especially if you're going back thousands of years, because even if it's written down, the stories between person to person gets distorted slightly every time a new person tells it. So Hercules could have been just this really brawlic dude that knew how to do stuff, killed all the things, and it started off with just a really good warrior and then, you know, son of whatever, and just kept building and building and building. You're not really sure where the first original story probably began by the time somebody actually popularized it somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. CJ, anything to add to that one?
I mean, not really. I mean, if you go back thousands of years, I mean, you even go back 400 years, 300 years, you know, like our cultural obsession with screens and television and movies and radio is a fairly young concept for humanity since its inception. Like, the primary form of entertainment was storytelling and things like plays and whatnot. All your religions, short of Hermeticism, you know, are formed on the prevalence of things that start as mythology and they move into theology and then they become religion from there. And I'm sure that at some point people saw some pretty amazing things, you know, back when we were all still connected to the planet in the way that we were meant to be. And, you know, mythology wise, I'm a little more open to the belief that a lot of it could be true, especially when it comes to stories, like original stories of cryptids, especially when they're not doing anything too insane, like shooting lasers out of their eyes or something like that. That like they're a little more believable. But yeah, I mean, I feel like when it comes to mythology, there's always some truth in there somewhere. At least it's based on a true story, right?
It totally could be. I mean, and you know, back in those days where they didn't have technology and opium was a hell of a drug and a whole bunch of other stuff that they used to do and take, and yeah, they probably seen some shit.
I also wonder too if, because like you said, they didn't have books and computers, if they just saw like normal run of the mill animals, like say like that we have on Earth right now, and they just didn't know how to perceive them. So then they got, their image got distorted and blown up and was turned into something that it actually wasn't. I mean, you never know.
Oh yeah, true. I mean, even the Komodo dragon used to be classified as a cryptid, and we've proved that one real.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. So, and a lot of times, like with our Western cultured brains, when you think of a German Shepherd, like you see it, like, you know what a German Shepherd looks like, but back in the World War II era, they actually look significantly different. So, you know, when they say, well, we saw this horse, like, do common people, you know, like you, me, you know, even Phil here, like, do we know what a horse 3, 4, 500, 2,000 years ago looked like?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, probably not. Unless out of curiosity got you one day. So, you know, when you live in the Western cultures, it could be somebody describing an animal that totally does exist. It just doesn't look the same.
Yeah, 100%. Just a couple of more here, and then we're going to wrap. First off, I have to bring up the work of H.P. Lovecraft. And for those who don't know, he is known kind of as the forefather of American horror. And like Stephen King, who was heavily inspired by him, they were both from the New England area. And I bring up Lovecraft because I've read some of his work, and a lot of metal bands I listen to write lyrics based on his work too, which is really cool. But he deals with a lot of cryptid beasts and like these fish-like and octopus-like people like Cthulhu and all these mythical figures. And, but his storytelling was like so realistic in the time he was alive that it made you wonder if there was something really, really strange going on in and around New England where most of his stories took place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of weird stuff happens in New England.
Yeah, I could say, I mean, the guy was an incredibly good writer and he would document his stuff, I would imagine.
I'm not super familiar with H.P. Lovecraft myself. Like, I know of him and I know of some of the stories, yeah, but I don't think I've ever actually read any of his work.
It's been a while, like high school level. Like, I haven't read it in years, so I couldn't come up with anything on the fly.
Unfortunately, I don't remember the title of this collection offhand, but I read one a few years ago that blew my mind. Because you have to remember, he died before he ever completed his main work, and this anthology of his I read, it was, I won't get into all the details because I don't have enough time right now, but it was all pieces, all small stories connected to a larger story in his world. And about halfway through this anthology, the larger story drops and it completely blows your mind and turns your head upside down into what you think was actually going on compared to what's really going on. So, like I said, I find it so fascinating that he was on this subject and he was tying it all together in one big story through all of his volumes, and he died before he got to finish it. Which leads me into my final question, and you can answer seriously, you could snicker all you want to, but this is one that always, always has my curiosity, especially during these crazy times. Shape-shifting reptiles, are they real or are they just absolutely out there, legend, myth, what have you? Because I'll tell you what, I don't think it's nearly as far-fetched as I used to. That's all I'm going to say right now.
Do you mean like reptilians? Is that like who you're talking about?
Yes, yes. That's kind of where I'm going with that. Yeah,
the reptilian overlords.
Yes,
I am not inclined to say that that's not true, because with the things that government and world government hide from you all the time, like,
yep.
I'm not gonna go looking at people like looking for scales up their noses or anything, but
or orange eyes or anything.
Yeah, yeah, but like if I turned a corner one day and I caught one of them mid morph, I wouldn't be super shocked. I would probably be very afraid for my life because I knew that that's a secret I wasn't supposed to know.
Yeah, that's yeah. You do that, be like, I'm sorry to have disturbed you. Go about your day. I will say nothing. Bye. But I really, unless I would actually see it, I don't know if I would actually 100% believe it. It's plausible. But
I was listening to a podcast and the person was interviewing somebody, a female, who was supposedly a reptilian creature. Who was that?
There's a few of that those out there familiar. That I know of. So, yeah.
Oh man, I'll message you on Facebook or something if I can remember sure. who that was.
Yeah, no worries. The reason I bring it up is that when I first heard that theory like years ago, I was like, "Oh, come on! Like that's a bit much." But couple of years back, before like he got kicked off the platform, I watched quite a bit of David Icke presentations on YouTube. And when he goes through his whole thing about reptilians, you sit there and you go, it's not like he converted me to 100% believer, but I just sit there and I go, you know what? This isn't nearly as outlandish as I thought it was. And it's got me curious. And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree.
Yeah, it's not something that I've fully made a decision on. So if there's proof and it was like, here's all the proof, I'd be like, okay.
No, but just between his work and some people's testimonials about seeing them in mid-shift, it just really makes me wonder. But guys, thank you so much for the time. This turned out to be a really entertaining episode, even if we threw it together kind of at the last minute. Great stuff as always. And I love that we have like an exclusive UFO sighting to post. When you're listening to this at airtime, it's going to be posted on our social media. Chime in with your opinions and thoughts. And gentlemen, where can they find the Cryptid Technical Podcast?
We have our Podbean site. That's barrenlandstudios.podbean.com. We have email, cryptotechnical@gmail.com. We have our Twitter, which is Barrenland Stew. Ninja, you have your Twitter.
Yeah, I have cryptidninja@twitter.com.
We're on pretty much every major podcast, Podchaser. Oh, we are on Podchaser, but we are on every podcatcher, Pandora.
Yeah,
Pandora, Stitcher. iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that, TuneIn, whatever. And right. Yeah.
All that good stuff. And remember, CJ, along with Mike, hosts the Mystery Stone Podcast. And brother, I apologize earlier in the show because I think I called it the Magic Stone Podcast. I'm
sorry. Yeah, no, it's all good. I totally knew what you meant, and that's okay.
It's just some, yeah, it's getting later in the evening and my mind's just starting to slip, so please forgive me.
I understand.
All right, gentlemen, yeah, thanks again for your time. Yes.
Sorry. I would say we on Mystery Stone, we actually have an episode of Philosopha Talk coming out. That's our bonus monthly episode where we discuss philosophy. And our next one is on aliens, is what's coming up.
Oh, cool.
Well, this was a good preview for it then. And gentlemen, keep your eyes open and remember to stay curious for me, because apparently we never know what we're going to run into, especially with your recent events, CJ.
Yeah, don't hold McDonald's if you're going to see aliens. It sucks.
Good advice. Ninja Chris, thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no problem.
Well, there we have it. My thanks again to Ninja Chris and to CJ for pulling this together at what was almost the last minute, as there was a last minute substitution in the show's guest this week. And as a podcaster, you just have to roll with the punches sometimes. And I truly can't thank these gentlemen enough for not only giving their time and their great stories and their insight, but for the kind words towards Unexplained Incorporated as well. So give Cryptid Technical a follow, and also give the Mystery Stone podcast a follow as well. I've been catching up on their shows recently, and they're putting out some excellent stuff and taking angles on certain metaphysical issues. Couldn't get that one straight. Taking angles on issues in ways I didn't even think were possible, and I love what they're doing, and I recommend you give them a follow as well. Next week on the Friday Night Fright is the return of Amanda Drago with the Psychic Mailbag, the Black Friday edition. This is going to air on the biggest shopping day of the year, at least in the Western world. And as for me, my day job is working at an e-commerce company, and the Black Friday Cyber Monday rush is the most insane time of the year. So once I work through some of those crazy complications, I will have the December lineup posted for Unexplained Incorporated. Got a couple of spots to fill, but it's a real treat as we're going to post shows for you on Christmas night and New Year's Day, January 1st as well, because they both fall on Fridays. But just before we wrap up tonight, a reminder, if you have any psychic or spiritual experience you'd like to share, you have any questions about intuitive development or the metaphysical or the spirit world, email myself, phantomphilunexplained@gmail.com or amandadrago444@hotmail.com, and you can visit her website if you find her on Facebook or Instagram as well. You can DM her, and if you don't want to give your name, you can submit your questions as anonymous. We love reading them, and we want to read more, quite frankly. We want to stretch the segment out a bit more. And we'll be talking about another topic as well, because we also do that alongside fielding questions, and it's always a great time having her on. And this is actually going to be her last appearance for the year 2020, as her next episode is going to air in a very special edition of Unexplained Incorporated with an energy reading, a global energy reading on 2021, which will air on the evening of January 1st. And I'm sure so many of you, are looking forward to when that calendar changes to 2021. And we hope for all the best things ahead. But all things considered, this year has been able to treat me quite well, considering the ups and downs, and I hope it has for you as well. And in closing, you know the drill, true believers. Don't forget to stay healthy, stay strong, and most importantly, stay curious. The doors of Unexplained Incorporated are now closed.